the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get started, I would like to let you all know that if you're a regular listener, that I'm going to be going on vacation next week, so there will be no shows on Monday or Friday, and I will be back on July 18th. So, yeah, if you're regular, sorry about you. I'm headed to Denver, Colorado to spend the week a mile high, if you will. Not just literally, but figuratively as well with all the legal weed that they've got going on there. So I'll be doing that. But I'll also be doing a whole bunch of other shit too, including going to see the Colorado Rockies. They'll be taking on the San Diego Padres on Thursday. I'll be going to a day game. I'll be sitting in the between center field and left field. I'm trying to catch a home run ball. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. And speaking of baseball, let's just get it started with what's been going on this week in baseball. A whole lot's been going on, of course, this week. Starting off on Monday, Houston Astros were playing the Kansas City Royals and were actually down 5-0 at one point and just made this huge comeback in the eighth inning, tied everything up. Then in the ninth inning, good old Yordan Alvarez. Man, I've been talking about Aaron Judge being the MVP of this year. Alvarez is making a huge case for that. It's going to be very interesting to see how the AL MVP shakes out. I still think it should be Judge just because he's been consistent the entire season. He really hasn't had a down point yet at this season, whereas Alvarez, it took him a little bit to finally get going. But he's on fire. He's playing some great baseball. And he had a walk-off home run against the Kansas City Royals on Monday night. Then also on Monday night, the Minnesota Twins turned a triple play that's never happened before in the history of the league against the Chicago White Sox. So basically, the ball was going towards the outfield, and Byron Buxton actually caught the ball. And the guy on second was already headed towards third, so Buxton guns him down and gets him out at second base, and then the second base guy he throws to first base, and then it turns a triple play. So that's the first time a triple play like that has ever happened in the league, and it just goes to show you that Byron Buxton is one hell of a player, because he's not only just knocking him out of the park, but he's got a cannon of an arm as well. And then also on Monday night, Seiya Suzuki of the Chicago Cubs, he's back from the injured list, and he hit an inside the park home run that was just crazy to watch him just gallop around the freaking bases like there was no tomorrow. So that was Monday night. Then on Tuesday, New York Mets pitcher Max Scherzer, he returned. Unfortunately, it wasn't a loss, but he had a spectacular game. He had 11 strikeouts. That's the most strikeouts he had all season. And he had a dominating game. It wasn't him who let the team down. It was just one of those games. I think the score ended up being something like 2-1 or 3-2. It was a very close game. You know, Scherzer, he's back and looking great. But then also on Tuesday night, Houston had another big game. Not just Houston, but Yordan Alvarez yet again. Not only did he have a big, big double play where he talk about cannons. Alvarez, he had a cannon coming from the outfield to help on this big double play. But then right after the double play, he once again hits another home run. So Alvarez, he's on fire. And then also on Tuesday night, Alcantara, the phenomenal starting pitcher for the Florida Marlins, he dominated the Los Angeles Angels. He went 7-plus innings. That's the 11th straight time this season he has gone 7-plus innings. So he has not only been dominating, but he's not getting pulled from games either. He's dominating from start to finish, and he's looking to make an early case for the NL Cy Young this year. And then also on Tuesday night, Kyle Schwarber, man, this guy continues to rake. I feel like every other game, he has two home runs at least. And on Tuesday night, he had two home runs in one game. So he's just having a great season. Then on Wednesday night, Shohei Ohtani, he continues to dominate as well. If I haven't expressed how much I love watching Shohei Ohtani, you haven't been listening, because I love Shohei Ohtani. It is crazy to watch a dude not only dominate pitching, but dominate at the plate, and we've never seen this before. And he only seems to be getting better as well, because, you know, the first couple of seasons in the league, you know, he had to battle through the injuries. So it kind of feels like he's just been working his way into becoming the player he is. And this season, he's just dominating, not only behind the plate, but pitching. And on Wednesday night, he had 10 strikeouts, but he also hit for two RBIs and a stolen base. And that's the first time ever in the history of baseball that a player has ever done that. So he's not only dominating pitching, but he comes into the game and bats too and just dominates. It's too bad that the Angels are a god-awful team, because he and Mike Trout are wasting their beautiful talent in a fucking Angels uniform. I don't know what the hell it's going to take for the Angels to get their shit together, but it sucks to see Ohtani and Trout, these two, literally two of like the best players in the league, are on the Angels, and the Angels can't even make the playoffs. Now, granted, there's still a lot of baseball to be played this season, so yes, they have a chance at making the playoffs, but they shouldn't be as bad as they are with these two dominating players. Then also on Wednesday night, the New York Yankees, on Tuesday, they had lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates in a close game. It was a close score, but for the most part, the Pirates actually had the lead. But then on Wednesday night, the Yankees decided to get some payback for that loss, and they actually ended up having 6 home runs in one game, 2 of them being grand slams, and the final score ended up being 16-0, New York Yankees. Yeah, the Yankees don't have any problems scoring, which isn't surprising at all. I don't know if you guys have heard this yet, but Kyle Schwarber on Wednesday night, he had 2 home runs yet again. So yeah, that's 2 nights in a row this week where Kyle Schwarber had 2 home runs for the Philadelphia Phillies. Then last night, Thursday night, it was a great game against the Yankees versus the Red Sox. At first, it looked like it was going to be a runaway with the Yankees. They come out, Josh Donaldson ends up hitting a grand slam. So that is their 3rd grand slam in 2 nights, by the way. And then I believe it was Aaron Hicks right after him who walked up and hit a home run as well. So the Yankees, they had a nice solid, 6-0 lead for a while there. But then Rafael Devers, this guy has been killing it for the Red Sox this year. He had 2 home runs last night, and he made things very, very interesting, but the Yankees were able to hold on and get the 6-5 win. Talk about domination. Tony Gonsolin, the starting pitcher of the Los Angeles Dodgers, he now leads the league with wins, with 11 wins. He's 11-0 on the season so far with a 1.62 ERA, which also leads the league right now. The dude is just, he used to be a, he used to come out of the bullpen, and now all of a sudden this guy's starting. And it looked like, you know, last year they tried getting him to start, and he wasn't dominating. He wasn't horrible, but he wasn't dominating like he's dominating this year. And this year, it's crazy because the Dodgers, they've been battling through so many injuries, but yet they have so many good fucking players that it's not really affecting them at all. Tony Gonsolin, he's just dominating at pitching this year. Also, speaking of the Yankees, before I move on to what else happened last night in baseball, the Yankees do lead the league. They made it to 60 wins. They lead the league with 60 wins, and then I believe the Houston Astros have 54, so right after them. So that just goes to show you how dominant the Yankees are right now. And also, Aaron Judge still leads the league with 30 home runs as well. Also a dominating performance last night was the Atlanta Braves, Spencer Strider. He is a rookie pitcher, and this guy he's paid dividends for the Braves this year. He's basically been their only, like, consistent guy since he started. Everybody else in their, starting pitching all the way on down to their bullpen has been, has had to deal with some type of injury. So Spencer Strider, being a young rookie coming in, he's playing great this season. Yesterday he ended the game with 12 strikeouts, and he had 9 strikeouts in a row. So he just absolutely dominated. Unfortunately, it was in a loss to the St. Louis Cardinals, but it was a close game, and he's really proven to be a great player, great young player for the World Series champion Braves. All right, and moving on to some, I wouldn't normally discuss this, but it was something I thought was absolutely hilarious, and it happened on Monday on the 4th of July at the hot dog eating contest, which is something I absolutely cannot watch. It just grosses me out. I mean, I commend anybody who can do that shit, but it makes me sick. I can't watch highlights of it because I just want to vomit the whole time. But if you don't know who Joey Chestnut is, he's basically like the Tom Brady of food eating. And he pretty much always wins. And this year, he, of course, was taking part in the hot dog eating contest. And while they're in the middle of the hot dog eating contest, a stupid protester hops up, hops the table and tries to distract them. And literally, while Joey Chestnut is eating and cramming hot dogs down his throat like a fucking porn star, he just takes this motherfucker, just rear naked choke holds him behind the throat and just yanks his ass out of there and just throws him the fuck out and continues to eat hot dogs while taking down the dreaded protester with whatever stupid bullshit they had to try and let us know. It was just fucking hilarious to watch. I almost didn't watch it because I was like, I don't want to see what's going on in this hot dog eating contest because I'm probably going to vomit. No, that shit made me laugh so hard. I watched it so many times because I couldn't stop laughing at how dumb this moron looked. And then you got Joey Chestnut still like slamming hot dogs like there's no tomorrow. Oh, he won, by the way. So way to go, protester. You really made a great point, as you always do. Oh, wait, that's right, you don't. Speaking of stupidity, I haven't had to do this segment in about a month, just because there really hasn't been anything that stupid to talk about, but we have retarded hysteria of the day today, guys. So earlier this week, on Tuesday, the Dallas Cowboys announced they were partnering with a company called Black Rifle Coffee Company. It's a company that's been around for a while. I actually think they have very amusing and well thought out commercials, by the way. If you haven't seen them, I suggest you go look them up on YouTube, because I remember the first time I saw one of them, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And it basically, usually the premise is, it's kind of like they make it like an action film. And the end result is like you're jumping out of a plane and oh my God, and you grab your coffee or whatever, but they were amusing and they were eye catching for me. So that's kind of how I'm familiar with them. But they're a legitimate business, and because they have the word rifle in their name, everybody started pillorying the Cowboys this week because of the insensitivity. Now, granted, yes, there was a mass shooting on Monday. Which is sad. No, I don't condone that. I think people who do that shit are absolutely awful piece of shit human beings, but I don't blame the gun. I blame the human, because that's the fucking problem. But I digress. But Tuesday was the day after, and the Cowboys announced their partnership with Black Rifle Coffee Company. And people were mad because they have the word fucking rifle in their coffee, their company name. And it's like, grow up and get the fuck over yourselves, people. It's a company. They don't. And if you actually go and look up the company, they sound like a pretty fucking awesome company, if you ask me. They were started by an ex-military guy, I believe he was from the Army. Their whole kind of like theme is Army, military, and first responders and police officers. And that's kind of like their support and their kind of theme. A lot of their coffee names are kind of like named after like military type things and just themed that way. And a few of them have the dreaded gun. It has an image of a gun on them. Oh my God! And some of them are called like AK-47, blah, 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 whatever. And it's just so fucking ridiculous that this is how stupid you goddamn people are. It's a company. What were the Cowboys supposed to do? Wait a week? Oh, wait, let's wait a week and then have another shooting happening? Because that's normally what's going on. And so it's like, what, you want them to delay it another week? So then to wait for the next shooting. Oh, and then let's delay it another week. So until the next shooting, like, you people need to fucking grow up. As a matter of fact, I think this is great for the Black Rifle Coffee Company, because they are a much, they're not Starbucks, obviously, but they're a business trying to get there, I assume. And partnering with the Dallas Cowboys, literally one of the biggest brands in the world, literally the biggest franchise in the entire world, worth the most money, that's called an amazing and great fucking partnership. So to all you people who were fucking upset over that shit, you need to get the fuck over yourselves. Grow the fuck up. If you are upset over just images of a gun or the word rifle, you got fucking issues. And you're a fucking asshole, and you need, and the world doesn't need to revolve around you and your narcissistic fucking personality and scared of words and images. Get over yourselves. By the way, it only encourages assholes like me, because guess what? If you are a fan of my music, or if you're not a fan of my music, I actually purposely go out of my way and put guns and stuff in things I promote. And music videos. As a matter of fact, my latest music video, Victim Culture, I shoot up a protest in a satirical type of way, but I still shoot up a protest. And the whole message of my video is, I think you're all fucking stupid and need to get the fuck over yourselves. But I digress. But that's why when you see me, like if you go to my Facebook page or my Twitter page right now, the header is me from shots of my music video. With the fake gun that I used in the music video. Yeah, fake gun. And I purposely do shit like that all the time. So if you ever see me posting music videos or promotional pictures, and it's any of my pictures with me and a gun, it's literally just to get under the skin of you stupid crybaby motherfuckers who are triggered by a goddamn image or a word of gun. Get the fuck over yourselves and get fucking real problems. Jesus Christ. Humans are so fucking stupid. It's just amazing. But thank you for giving us the retarded hysteria of the day. I feel like we should change the name of our country to Retarded Hysteria of America. I don't know. I think that fits fucking perfect. Anyways, let's get back to, we had a little bit of NFL news this week as well. Baker Mayfield was finally traded away from the Cleveland Browns. He ended up getting traded to the Carolina Panthers. I think that's a good move by the Panthers. They do have Sam Darnold, who at first it looked like he might be okay, and then he got injured and he just could never get back on track. And I just, from what I've seen of Sam Darnold, I don't think he's starting quarterback worthy, at least for what the Panthers are doing. So I think getting Baker Mayfield in, I don't think he's the future either, but I think he's better than what they have on the roster this year. I think he's proven that he's decent enough to get the job done. He's definitely a starting quarterback. He could have easily started in Cleveland this year if they didn't want to go kick it with the fucking dick dangler Deshaun, but you know, they'd rather kick it with him than the dreaded Baker Mayfield. But anyways, you know, I think it's good for both parties that they finally ended that shit. And I think it's good for the Panthers. It's better than what they had. I don't think this makes them like a Super Bowl contender or anything. At least from what I can tell. Obviously, you never know until the season starts. But I think it's a good move for them. But I don't think it's a long-lasting move for them. I think this is more of a bridge quarterback. But I think it's a great deal for them, too, money-wise, just because they didn't have to give up a lot. They only had to give up, I think, like a fifth or sixth round draft pick. So that's not bad at all. And then they only have to take on like $4 million of a salary. So I think it's a good move for the Carolina Panthers, at least from what their roster looked like before Baker Mayfield. And now with him on it, I think they at least have a decent quarterback. And then you've got Sam Darnold as the backup in case Baker Mayfield gets injured, because he has turned into an injury-prone quarterback, especially as you could tell last year. And then the last bit of NFL news, which I think is awesome news, is the Las Vegas Raiders hired a new president yesterday, and she is the first black female president in the NFL. Her name is Sandra Douglas Morgan. So I am happy just because it's nice to see women continue to excel in a heavily male-dominated world. A black woman as well, so that's even better. But I did turn a side eye at this, not because of her, but because if you don't recall, a couple months ago, the reason why the Raiders president, they had a vacancy at president, is because their previous president was fired immediately for no reasons. And he is alleging that it's because he's kind of became a whistleblower on some of, I guess, sexual harassment and racism within the Raiders. Now, nothing official has come out about that, but I mean, who the fuck would be surprised by that? Not me. No, not me for sure. So that was my first kind of side eye when they hired her. I was like, is this one of those things that, because, you know, the Washington Redskins football team commanders, they did the same exact thing. When all of the allegations started coming out about them, that's why they changed their team name to begin with from the Redskins to the whatever the fuck they are now. They also started hiring a few women in a couple other positions to say, oh, look at us. We don't really hate women. Here they are, high positions in our company. But it was really all a ruse. So hopefully that's not what's going on here with the Raiders. She seems like she's absolutely qualified. She's been working for the gaming board in Las Vegas. She has deep, I think she's born in Vegas. Also, her husband, I believe, played in the NFL as well. So she knows her shit, obviously, if you were hired as president for the Raiders. But like I said, I think it's great to see women get to excel at the men's level, finally now, especially in the NFL. And if you don't know who because Sandra Douglas Morgan, she's actually the first black female president. The first female president was Kim Pegula of the Buffalo Bills. So she was the first female to take on that role. All right. And I have mentioned a few times on my show that I absolutely can't stand the Baseball Writers of America, the assholes who get to induct baseball players into the Baseball Hall of Fame. The reason why I hate them is because they're exclusive assholes who probably sip on fucking tea with their goddamn pinkies out and talk like this and, oh, you are not allowed into our exclusive baseball club, even though we never even played. We never picked up a bat. We never put on a glove. We never threw a ball. We never even managed a game. But we are the high and mighty who get to vote in the baseball players. And they are high and mighty. They may not talk like I just was making fun of them like I just was with that voice. But they're a bunch of fucking assholes for the most part. Not all of them. Not all of them are fucking assholes. But it's so annoying how finicky they are with how they let certain players in and how they don't let certain players in. They're just, they don't make sense. And you can tell that they use vendettas from back in the day because not all players, not all athletes are nice to the media. And that hurts their widow feelings. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand. They have obligations to the media. They should speak to the media after games. If you are a star player, you do owe the media a lot more than the backup. But at the end of the day, that is a part of their job. But not a part of their job is to be nice to you. They can answer the questions however the fuck they want. And some of the guys on my list, especially at number 5, I know for sure, was not media friendly. You could tell that they use a lot of that against some of these guys. Now, there's a couple more reasons why this top five that I'm going to rattle off on, why these guys aren't in the Hall of Fame. But most of them, when I look at it, they're not in the Hall of Fame because the media didn't like them, or there was some little vendetta against the media. That's just how it is. And it's fucking annoying that a bunch of idiots who literally just write about sports. I mean, I'm as fucking qualified to vote for Hall of Fame if these motherfuckers are. I at least watch the game, and I can watch it unbiasedly, too. If you want me to fucking, like, break shit down and take complete bias, I mean, I've put the fucking Dodgers in my top 10 power rankings a lot this season. And I hate the Dodgers, you know that? But if they're good, I can't deny that they're good. And I'm not going to deny players being good just because I don't like their team or I don't like their attitude or whatever the fuck. But it's ridiculous that these baseball writers of America are allowed to be the fucking gatekeepers to the Hall of Fame when it's like, you assholes didn't play the fucking game. How do you know what the hell is going on? Who qualifies you just because you watched it? No, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be any media members who vote on it, but there should be a different group of people, meaning I think guys who are inducted into the Hall of Fame should have a chance at maybe joining some type of voting board to at least balance it out. Because at least if you played the game, I can look at you and go, you know what it took. You know what it was like to get in that weight room. You know what it was like to go to training camps. You know what it was like to go to spring training. You knew what it was like to go through an entire season. You know what it's like to get injured. You know the entire motherfucking process. That's who I want to hear from. I don't give two shits and a fuck about the media members and their fucking whiny ass, oh my God, Barry Bonds didn't answer me the question right. So anyways, this week's top five list are my top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame. And these are five who, looks like, I think, three for sure, they're not eligible at all anymore because they went past the almighty marker. And by the way, with Hall of Fames, yes, there should be criteria. You shouldn't let everybody in. Yes, you should have criteria. But the Baseball Hall of Fame, they're fucking whack. Their criteria is, we're on our period today, and this is how the fuck I'm voting. That's their fucking criteria. And they make up the dumbest fucking reasoning why they don't put people in. So these are five players who are not in. Two of them, they have not reached their ineligibility years yet. I think they have a year or two left of eligibility, but I don't think they're going to get in just because you could tell by the motherfuckers with their pinkies out and sipping their tea like they're the greatest motherfuckers on earth. You know they ain't letting them in. So let's go ahead and start off with the top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame. Starting off with number five, Barry Bonds, left fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1986 to 1992 and the San Francisco Giants from 1993 to 2007. The main reason why they don't want to put Barry Bonds in, or the reason why they say so, is because of the whole steroid scandal. Basically, Barry Bonds was like the face of the steroid scandal, if you will. There were a lot of players, coaches. Hell, when you look back on baseball in the steroid era, the reason why it's called the steroid era is because not just like three guys were doing steroids and cheating. It's like, no, like the majority of the players were doing steroids. The majority of their coaches knew it. The majority of their managers knew it. The majority of the owners knew it. The fucking commissioner of the league knew it. Everybody in baseball fucking knew it. And that's why it's ridiculous. I mean, for Christ's sake, Bud Selig was the commissioner of baseball at the time. And that motherfucker's in the Hall of Fame. Okay? If he's in the Hall of Fame, tell me why Barry Bonds ain't in the Hall of Fame. Because guess what? Even before Barry Bonds started doing steroids, he was a Hall of Fame player. He was a killer in the outfield, winning gold gloves, and he was still hitting home runs. He just got bigger. And he was hitting home runs at a higher rate, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to act like steroids didn't help him, but guess what? They fucking helped everybody else along the way. And it's just ridiculous, too, because they have let guys into the Hall of Fame who have been accused of steroids, just not at the level that Barry Bonds was. And they are currently in the Hall of Fame, and I guarantee you some more will get inducted in along the way. And I'm not saying they don't belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm just merely pointing out, you don't get to sit here and tell me that fucking David Ortiz, who was accused of doing steroids, that motherfucker gets to go into the Hall of Fame, and he was a Hall of Fame player, in my opinion. But you telling me Barry Bonds don't get to go in the Hall of Fame and David Ortiz does? Suck my motherfucking dick. Listen to these stats from Barry fucking Bonds, okay? His career batting average was a .298. He hit 762 career home runs, 2,935 hits, 1,996 RBIs, and 514 stolen bases. He's a 14-time All-Star, a 7-time NL MVP, 7-time. Three of those he won in 1990, 1992, and 1993 before he started doing steroids, by the way. 8-time Gold Glove Award winner, 12-time Silver Slug Award winner, 3-time NL Hank Aaron Award winner, 2-time NL batting champion, 2-time NL home run leader, an NL RBI leader, and luckily he has had his number, and the San Francisco Giants have been giving him, they retired his number and have been giving him his dues, as they should. A couple of MLB records that Barry Bonds owns, by the way, career home runs with 762, home runs in a single season with 73, career bases on balls, 2,558, bases on balls in a single season, 232, 609 on base percentage in a single season, and 863 slugging percentage in a single season. You can't tell me Barry Bonds doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, even with the steroids bullshit. Go fuck yourself that Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame. He still has like a year or two of eligibility, but the way these stupid morons have been voting, they ain't letting Barry Bonds in. And even Barry's been like, yeah, I kind of have given up the fucking hope of getting into the Hall of Fame, which is bullshit if you ask me. And like I said, the media, they actually didn't like Barry Bonds because Barry Bonds, he would give them rude answers. And you know what? Grow up. So what? You had to deal with Barry Bonds being mean to you? Shut the fuck up. Let the motherfucker in the Hall of Fame. He deserves it. All right, number four on my top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame is Thurman Munson. He was a catcher for the New York Yankees from 1969 to 1979. So I wasn't really that familiar with him. I did know that he died in the middle of the 1979 season. He actually died in a plane crash. He flew planes, and he was flying a plane, and I think it clipped a tree. He was too low, and he actually broke his back, and then he actually died in a fire that started because of the plane crash. But when I went, because I noticed, so I when I was doing research on what players aren't in the Hall of Fame, his name popped up, and I looked at his stats, and I was like, wait a second. This guy isn't in the Hall of Fame, and I have no idea why. Are the Hall of Fame, are the Baseball Writers of America holding it against him because he fucking died in a plane crash? Is that why they won't let him in? He had a 10-year career. And let me rattle off his career here. He had a career batting average of .292, hit 113 home runs and 701 RBIs. He's a 7-time All-Star, a 2-time World Series champion in 1977 and 1978. Like, that's the year before he died. He was the AL MVP in 1976, AL Rookie of the Year 1970, 3-time Gold Glove Award winner. He was the New York Yankees captain from 1976 to 1979 when he fucking died. And of course, the Yankees, they retired his number, and he's in Monument Park as an honoree. But looking at those stats, I couldn't believe that Thurman Munson's not in the Hall of Fame. And so I don't know if it's because the media had issues with him or whatever, but are they really holding a plane crash against the guy? Because I wouldn't put it past those fucking pieces of shit, but I couldn't believe that this guy wasn't in the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, man, those are some really good stats. I mean, he won the championships. He was the freaking captain of the Yankees, none other. You know, they were obviously a dynasty at that time. And, wow, yeah, I couldn't believe it. But, hey, that's the Baseball Writers of America for you. Bunch of fucks. All right, moving on to number three. Shoeless Joe Jackson. He was an outfielder. He played for the Philadelphia A's from 1908 to 1909. Then the Cleveland Indians from 1910 to 1915. And then most famously for the Chicago White Sox in 1915 to 1920. And I say most famous because you've probably heard of it. It's called the Black Sox scandal. And basically, that last World Series, what, in 1920, a bunch of White Sox players, they took some money to throw the World Series. And basically, I went and did research on this. I'd never really, like, gone to look up anything about this. I just knew his name appeared in the Black Sox scandal, and I just knew who Shoeless Joe Jackson was just because he, at the time, was the greatest baseball player at that time. He was dominating. He just was electric. He was a spectacular baseball player, at least from what I could tell by reading about him and his statistics. Basically, he got drawn into this Black Sox scandal, but unfortunately, he didn't participate. As a matter of fact, what happened was is he was offered $5,000 to throw the World Series, and he said no. He did not take the money. But unfortunately, a few of his teammates did. And as the scandal started to unfold, they threw him under the bus. And just because the way things were going, they just ended up banning all the players, including Shoeless Joe Jackson. And he was banned from baseball completely, including from the Hall of Fame. So that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame. But it's pathetic that he's not in the Hall of Fame because he actually didn't commit the crime that he was accused of. He actually, he rejected it. He rejected it. And at that time, in the early 1900s, $5,000 was a lot of motherfucking money. I believe I read that it was like double his salary. So he actually gave a fuck about baseball. He was a great baseball player. He was the face of baseball at the time. And here are his career statistics. His career batting average was a .356. He had 1,772 hits, 54 home runs, and 785 RBIs. He won a World Series in 1917, and then the 1919 World Series he went to, but that was the scandal season. And one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't believe he was a part of it is because here are his statistics from the World Series that he was supposed to throw. Let me know if you think these are statistics of a person who wants to lose this fucking World Series. Let's see, he had 12 base hits, which was a series record, by the way. Not broken until 1964. He led both teams with a .375 batting average. He committed no errors and threw a runner out at the plate. Even the way he played proved that he wasn't a part of the Black Sox scandal. And the Hall of Famers, of course, since they're staunch-ass motherfuckers with a stick up their motherfucking ass, they ain't gonna let one of the most legendary baseball players of all time, who basically shaped baseball. At that time, it was like him and Ty Cobb, man. So, yeah, it's pathetic that Shoeless Joe Jackson isn't in. Then at number two, on my top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame, Roger Clemens, starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox from 1984 to 1996, with the Toronto Blue Jays from 1997 to 1998, the New York Yankees from 1999 to 2003, the Houston Astros from 2004 to 2006, the New York Yankees again in 2007. The main reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame is, of course, is the same reason why Barry Bonds isn't in the Hall of Fame, is he was the face of the steroids era for pitchers. But unfortunately, same thing with Barry, is Roger's career was fucking great before he started taking steroids as well. By the way, he played for my Texas Longhorns. He also had a great career with them, too. So it's bullshit that he's not in the Hall of Fame. He had a stellar career. He went to World Series with the Yankees and the Astros as well. The Astros, as a matter of fucking fact, were a garbage team when he signed with them. He is like what started what the Astros are today. The Astros were not a good team for quite some time. And then Clemens was getting towards the end of his career. And he's a Texas boy, and he wanted to play for the Astros, and he wanted to play in Texas. So he ended up signing with the Astros, and they were a garbage fucking team when he signed with them. And then they ended up going to the World Series. They did lose. I can't recall who they lost to off the top of my head, but they did lose that World Series. But they went to the World Series, and I remember when they went to that World Series, I was like, holy shit, Roger Clemens just took the shitty-ass Astros to the World Series. Because growing up, the Astros weren't a good team. And up until Roger Clemens signing with them, they weren't a good team. And now they've continued to basically be a really good team ever since then. And he took them to a World Series, for Christ's sake. And he was one of the main reasons why they went to the World Series that year. Obviously, he wasn't the only reason, but he was pitching out of his mind that year. But anyways, here are Roger Clemens' his career statistics. He had a win-loss record of 354 wins, 184 losses. He had a career 3.12 ERA with 4,672 strikeouts. And just so y'all know, like for me personally, Roger Clemens like dominated basically when I started watching baseball when I was like a kid until he retired. He was the most dominating pitcher. That's why it's ridiculous he is not in the Hall of Fame. And like I said, he changed franchises he went to as well. He would put them over the top. I mean, like I said, he took the Astros, a garbage can team, to the World Series like a year or two after he signed with them. But here are some more of his statistics. He's an 11-time All-Star, a 2-time World Series champion in 99 and 2000 with the Yankees, 7-time Cy Young Award winner. By the way, 1986, 1987, 1991, 1997, and 98, I would say those are pre-steroid era years. The 97, 98 ones, they might be steroid era. It's not 100% sure. I know definitely he's 01 and 04. Those are steroid era. But if you look at it, three of those for sure are pre-steroid era for him. But that's 7-time Cy Young Award winner. 7 times he was the best overall pitcher in the league. 7, okay? Then he was the AL MVP. AL MVP. He was the MVP. Pitchers don't get the MVP, but he did in 1986 when he was with the Boston Red Sox. He's a 2-time Triple Crown winner in 1997 and 1998. He's 4-time MLB wins leader. He's the 7-time ERA leader, 5-time AL strikeout leader, and he has a Major League Baseball record of 20 strikeouts in a 9-inning game. He did it twice. So enlighten me. How is Roger Clemens not in the Hall of Fame? That dude was one of the best fucking pitchers. And yes, he was also not too nice to the media at times. He actually wasn't too horrible. It was more during the steroid era he was an asshole. But maybe it's because he was sick of dealing with you stuck-up motherfucking baseball writers of America. And now number one. Now my top five baseball players not in the Hall of Fame. This, I feel like, should be in everybody's number one because it's ridiculous that Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. He actually played every single position in baseball. Although he was, I believe, most known for first base, I didn't get to see his career, but I can't recall. But regardless, he is a player who has played every single position in the league at some point during his pro career. That is fucking nuts. But he played with the Cincinnati Reds from 1963 to 1978, the Philadelphia Phillies from 1979 to 1983, the Montreal Expos in 1984. He went back to Cincinnati in 1984 through 1986. And then he became a manager and was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds from 1984 to 1989. And we all know why he is not in the Hall of Fame. It's because he was caught gambling. When he was a manager, by the way, not when he was a player, which is, it's ridiculous. I get it. If you're a player or a manager or you own a team or whatever, the rules are you shouldn't be gambling. And the reasons are obvious. But he got caught gambling as a manager. He didn't. Now, there's rumors he did it while he was a player, but we don't have proof of that. And quite frankly, even if we did, it doesn't fucking matter. Because this is literally one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Like I just said, he has played every position, so that alone makes him spectacular. But let's read off some of Pete Rose's career statistics here, shall we? He has a career batting average of 303, 4,256 hits, 160 home runs, 1,314 RBIs, and his managerial record, it was okay. He was 412 wins with 373 losses of a 525 winning percentage. He's a 17-time All-Star, a 3-time World Series champ in 75, 76, and 80. He won the NL MVP in 1973. He won the World Series MVP in 1975. He was the NL Rookie of the Year in 1963. 2-time Gold Glove winner, award winner, Silver Slug award winner, Roberto Clemente award winner, 3-time NL batting champion. Luckily, the Cincinnati Reds have retired his number and let him know that he matters. But, you know, of course, in Major League Baseball, the Baseball Writers of America, they ain't gonna let you into the Hall of Fame because, God forbid, you gamble during your managerial career. By the way, he owns Major League Baseball records of career hits for 4,256, career singles, 3,215, career games played, 3,562, career at-bats of 14,053, and career plate appearances of 15,890. This dude was an all-around baseball player. As a matter of fact, he was baseball. Like, come the fuck on. All five of these dudes, from Barry Bonds to Thurman Munson to Shoeless Joe Jackson to Roger Clemens to Pete Rose, and quite frankly, to a lot of other motherfuckers I didn't even put on the list. I could have made this a Trop 10, but I really only wanted to make it a Trop 5. But it's ridiculous that those five guys aren't in the Hall of Fame. They should most certainly be in the Hall of Fame. And these Baseball Writers of America need to get the fuck over themselves. Unfortunately, I know they won't get over themselves. As a matter of fact, they probably love rants like these because it makes them feel super fucking important. But as a baseball fan and as a person, especially with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, I watched both of their careers. They were two of the most dominating players at their positions. They were game changers for the teams they were on, especially Roger Clemens, for Christ's sake. And it's just ridiculous that all five of those guys, they are baseball. They are spectacular baseball players. They have all the fucking credentials. And you mean to tell me the Baseball Writers of America can't get them in? You guys are ridiculous. Fuck off. I'm sure this will not be the last rant against the Baseball Writers of America. I'm sure I'm going to rant about them every single fucking year. I wouldn't be shocked if I do. But yeah, I thought it was a good list that I could put out there. So yeah, that's my Trop 5 for the week. Trop 5 baseball players not in the Hall of Fame. Number 5, Barry Bonds. Number 4, Thurman Munson. Number 3, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Number 2, Roger Clemens. And number 1, Pete Rose. So like I said, y'all, I am going to be out of town next week in Colorado, a mile fucking high, smoking all the goddamn weed in the world. I mean, I do that anyways, but boy, howdy, my brother and I, we take that shit to a whole other level. I don't think y'all could hang with us. I mean, maybe some of y'all stoners could, but real talk, we smoke a lot of weed. We're going to have a lot of fun. And so yeah, no shows next Monday or Friday. I will be back July 18th. So you guys enjoy all of the sports and all of the shenanigans that happen while I'm gone. And fuck the Baseball Writers of America, motherfuckers. Fuck them all. Have a good weekend, fools. Peace out.